Radio.
And we're back to DVRadio.net, WDVR. I'm Barracks Talk. I am Bunnerwood. We got DV6, Google, and Recoil. We also have, as our guest tonight, who DV6 is going to interview, Dr. Stuart Levinson. Again, he is the Republican running for New Hampshire's 2nd District. Are you there, Dr. Levinson?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. It's good. Been a long campaign, and hopefully we'll see some positive results within 60 hours.
Good. Yes, that's all right. You've got the primary elections coming up this Tuesday, correct?
Yes, that is.
Outstanding. DV6, would you like to go ahead and
go with your interview? Dr. Stuart Levinson, this is Mike Rivers again, and I want to thank you. He was one of the only politicians who came out here to DV Farm last month, or in the end of July, to do our memorial for our forgotten soldiers. It was great meeting you out there, and thanks for coming out.
Well, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun meeting you guys. It wasn't fun being there for such a solemn occasion. I would say that I don't consider myself a politician. I consider myself a doctor who's getting involved in civic affairs, and taking care of veterans has always been important to me. And that ceremony itself showed how forgotten veterans have been, even though we pay a lot of lip service towards providing veteran services.
Well, I purposely called you a politician so that you could remind everybody that you're not, and you're a doctor. I watched your debate on WMUR, and I think you did a really good job. You stood out. In my personal opinion, you stood out.
Well, thank you.
With your answers. And I've got a few. I've got like 5 or 6 questions. We might not be able to get to them all, but depending on how fast we get answers, hopefully, New Hampshire residents, anybody that's going to be voting, most Republicans do vote and they do care. So I've picked some of the ones that I think, in my personal opinion, are important to me, and in addition to other New Hampshire veterans, and if there's any civilians listening. So my biggest question for you, Dr. Levinson, is why did you choose to run?
Well, because the career politicians are ignoring the needs of the constituents, or like I said last night, if Ann Custer had done her job, I wouldn't be running. And frankly, if the other people on the stage were electable, I wouldn't be running. We need to get rid of Ann Custer. We need to restore some accountability to government. And the only way that's going to happen is if the non-politicians, such as myself, get involved. I have a wonderful career. I love taking care of patients. I certainly don't need to go to Congress for an income. And therefore, that's what makes it necessary to do this, because I'll go to Washington, do the job that the constituents sent me to do, and then I'll leave after a period of time. And as I tell people, I'm a rheumatologist. The only way you're going to hear from me in, say, 6 years is if you develop rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah, you actually can have a job after you leave without having to go on book tours and everything. You did work at the VA, and this is a bone I have, not with you, but with the VA I have to pick. And I read your note on Facebook that's pinned to the page, and about the VA, and about the Manchester, specifically the Manchester VA. You want to give our listeners, for those who don't know, Dr. Stuart Levinson blew the whistle on that VA. Can you give our listeners, the background on what happened and why you had to do what you did?
Well, I've been at the VA for over 18 years. For the first 10 years or so, I was a staff physician, and I found out the needs of the veterans extended well beyond the exam room. So I eventually became the department chairman and then the regional medical director for VISN 1 New England, the New England VA network. And the VA was never a high-functioning organization, although I like to think that most veterans got good care, but it didn't excuse the ones who fell through the cracks. But after a certain number of problems happened, there was no more solving problems. The leadership decided to cover up problems. And that's where I got off. I mean, you can't always be great at solving problems, but you at least address them. And as long as I could do my job with integrity, I had no desire to be a whistleblower. But then things were piling up. flies in the OR. There was dirty surgical instruments being reused without being sterilized. 3,000 Veterans Choice consults were waiting to be seen, some of those with immediate needs, such as heart disease. One had lung cancer. I mean, if you when I reviewed them, I said, these patients need to be seen yesterday, and nothing was happening. Doctors came to me and said, Stuart, what are you going to do about this? I went to the VA leadership, and nothing was being done. So a group of us doctors got together and got in touch with Ann Custer through our attorney, and we scheduled a meeting. The meeting with her, first, she said, the VA in Manchester is not in my congressional district, which I couldn't believe, none of us could believe, because she is the ranking Democrat on the VA Oversight Committee. How many thousands of veterans in her district use the VA? So it was just one thing after another that just made my blood boil. And then 5-10 minutes into our meeting with her, she says, I have to go now, I'm going to a fundraiser, and if you want to continue this conversation, we can do it there. And in front of us were high dollar contribution forms.
She even alarmed, or did she express any outrage, or what was her tone?
Well, initially she pretended to care, like, oh, that's very serious. And then it was like she looked at her watch. She was bored, it seemed, and time to go collect the $200.
What did you do?
The next week was a tough week for me. I knew what I had to do, but it took me a few days to get my courage up, because I knew once I went public, once I went to the Boston Globe, my VA career would be over. I knew they would retaliate against me. So I called the Boston Globe, and I contacted the editor. I emailed the Boston Globe. I said, I have a letter from the chairman of neurologic surgery at New England Baptist, one of the world's foremost institutions for back surgery. And he said in that letter he hadn't seen care this bad since doing pro bono work in rural Nigeria.
Oh, wow. So they did the story. It came out. Unfortunately, though, like you said in your letter here, and you know, this might be a compliment, because it seems to me that they're treating you just like they do us, with lip service.
That's exactly it.
And that's sad. It's sad. I mean, I heard the VA secretary promised to do a task force or something, and basically nothing happened. That VA out there in Manchester is still never going to be a full-service VA, you know, well, and they're still busing people to White River, which
it doesn't necessarily have to be a full service VA. If you use some of the community, it depends on how you envision the care. Because New Hampshire, you have veterans in the northern part of the state, they would have to drive 2.5-3 hours.
Absolutely, but Manchester is in a really built up area.
Yeah.
And usually all major metropolitan, I mean, Massachusetts has 6. You know, or possibly more throughout the whole state. And as you know, as it's noted in your letter too, and I know that, New Hampshire. So if I drive and I want to use the VA in my state and I drive there, unfortunately I can't get, it's the reason why we drive now from our organization to White River, because if one of our guys, people do travel in caravans or carpool.
Yeah.
And if one guy needs to get an x-ray, I know they can do x-ray there, but anything. And not all of them can get the services. They're all going to have to be shipped out to different hospitals. I mean, this is the United States of America. You know, you could get everything under one roof. That's a big hospital. It's an old hospital.
Yeah, the issue in Manchester, though, the building is over 60 years old. It's falling apart. It had to be closed during the flood damage. Well, to address the shortcomings after the whistleblower report came out, Secretary Shulkin came to New Hampshire with $30 million in new funding for Manchester. And so I said, well, wait a minute. Don't spend this money on revamping a building that costs more money to maintain than it would to rebuild. Let's put it towards getting more money to rebuild this building, and in the long run, it would be cheaper. And so we met with Congresswoman Custer again, who initially, when the Boston Globe article came out She went on WMUR and said that she had been working with the whistleblowers for over a year, that she was on top of this. So, I mean, it was just one thing after another. So we met with her again and said, look, let's not waste this money. We need a new medical center. It could be a full-service hospital or not, but it has to be a 21st century building. And her response was, well, any new building projects are going to California because they have 50 Congress people and we only have two. And my response to her is, it sounds like California has 51.
Yeah, well, that was good. You know, again, it's just, all right, I get it that you get what we as veterans go through, and I applaud you for standing up and putting your mouth where you're, you know, putting your reputation on the line and your job and all that to, you had the courage to do what most people don't.
Well, thank you. That's my definition of leadership, though. I mean,
absolutely.
If you're not going to...
Doing the right thing. If it was easy, everybody would do it. A little bit of a challenge here. I mean, you have to stand up on principle. I mean, dirty instruments and flies and, you know, it's just disgusting. You speaking of the VA, though, I'll keep this moving. So that's in a nutshell where folks that Dr. Levinson comes from. He's already started the fight to fix the VA. Now, there was an article that just came out. There's a bunch of lawmakers asking the VA secretary, and now after what you told me about, I might doubt this will happen, but they're pushing for the VA secretary to research marijuana as an alternative to opioids. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, this is a new VA secretary. Secretary Shulkin was fired. I actually talked about that on Fox News at one point, that it was a shame because he actually had a lot of credibility when he first took the job because he was a doctor, and it was my hope that a doctor would understand the veterans' medical needs more than anyone else, but that didn't pan out. But the new VA secretary, the research on marijuana, remember, marijuana is still illegal on the federal level. So that causes problems with state issues because if you live in a state where even medical marijuana is legal, and you come to the VA and you're getting opioids and they do drug testing and you test positive for marijuana, it doesn't matter that it's legal. They'll cut you off.
But so it's a whole nother thing. And, you know, and like I said, and then that you're stating the facts of the case, too. But would you be willing to meet with both sides to maybe try to find something that you know, could offer an alternative for people? And we're not just talking about the ones who are on opioids. We're talking about those who would rather not take opioids.
Well, we don't have a monopoly on knowledge about this. If it's making people feel better who have significant medical problems or PTSD or what have you, my opposition to marijuana is not based on being puritanical. Yes, let's get people the medications they need. If the veterans prefer medical marijuana, I don't necessarily have a problem with that. We just have to take some minor steps, make sure it's not being abused, but that's not an issue. Because there have been some at least anecdotal evidence that it does provide legitimate good for a lot of different illnesses, especially those that the veterans are suffering from. So I don't have a problem with that at all. And I would say that perhaps marijuana should be rescheduled by the federal government to be a Schedule II, which means it can be utilized in federal facilities. My issue is in terms of New Hampshire's being surrounded now by states that recreational marijuana is being legalized. And that's a threshold I think we should avoid, at least for the time being. But in terms of medical marijuana for veterans, I started off my campaign saying that what a terminal cancer patient uses to help their suffering is none of my business. Well, veterans coming to the VA, they shouldn't be told what care they need if they know what makes them feel better, because we're talking about pain, we're talking about the suffering of PTSD, so therefore I would be on board if in some way the medical marijuana could be monitored appropriately, and as long as it wasn't abused. You know, let's get the veterans the care they need.
Good answer. I like that. All right. On the Second Amendment, what's your current view and stand on the Second Amendment? And with that being said, too, keep in mind, you're going to a deeply divided when you get elected, deeply divided Congress. and all these proposals to add new laws to the Second Amendment. I just, where do you stand on the Second Amendment?
Well, I'm a strong supporter of the Second Amendment. I'm a firearms instructor with the state of New Hampshire. I teach hunter education to new hunters. I'm a big believer that gun control is the death of a thousand scratches. The gun control advocates are incredible. They just want one more little law, and before you know it, there are two ways of eating a bunch of grapes. You can either gobble the whole bunch of grapes or pick them one at a time. And they tell you they want a simple law that will just prevent some problem, when in fact it's overreaching and it's designed to make guns more difficult to obtain by law-abiding citizens. And in the sense, it's going to compromise people's constitutional rights.
And you had brought on that, I just, you know, watching your, I never thought about this myself, but you had said something during the debate about, you brought up the fact that truckers can't even protect themselves because they're going across state lines, and you had proposed something about a, you know, addressing that need. And then I like that. Could you elaborate on that?
I didn't bring that up, but I'm a big believer in national reciprocity. This almost happened to me. I was driving in southern New Hampshire. I was driving from a sort of a marginal neighborhood in a town in New Hampshire to...
Probably Hillsboro.
But I was driving to the Nashua Mall, and I didn't realize that the road goes through Massachusetts for about a quarter of a mile. Well, I hit the brakes, changed my shorts, and then... Yeah, I mean, I have patients, I mean, veterans who lost their gun and almost lost their freedom over that. One patient of mine, a veteran, he was driving along the southern border of New Hampshire. At that time, New Hampshire did have concealed weapon permits. Now it's constitutional carry. He was carrying his gun, a $1,200 H&K. He was very proud of. He bought it with money he got paid from the government when he got de-deployed, when he got back from deployment. And his girlfriend called him. Her car broke down, and he didn't realize it was on the Massachusetts side of the border. Her car is there with the hood up. He pulls over, and he sees it's on the Massachusetts side. Well, he didn't realize a state trooper was watching him, and he got arrested with the gun, and the judge was at least deferential that he was a veteran and gave him a so-called quaff, continuation without findings, which meant if he didn't get into any trouble in 5 years, the case, it would go away. But he lost his gun, couldn't get it back, and the whole thing to me was horrible. He should have gotten his gun back. He should have never been charged with a crime. I mean, the law made him a criminal, not his act.
Exactly. And, you know, before we run out of time, I really need to get into this. And it's a big mess, but where do you stand on the wall with illegals? In-state tuition for giving rights to people who want to come to this country illegally and not assimilate, and by not assimilating, but they enjoy all the fruits of our great country. You know, in California, they're proposing letting them vote in regular local elections. One of the politicians down in Boston even started that thing. In California, they give driver's licenses. Just this whole, do you believe in the wall? Do you believe that people that come to this country should come here legally and then assimilate? Should they enjoy those? You know, I heard you bring it up. You know, I think you had to pay out-of-state tuition or something.
Well, no, it wasn't that. It was just that, you know, if the money is there, I'm giving in-state tuition to illegals just violates everything that I believe in. I was paying in-state tuition at a city college in New York City, but if they were giving in-state tuition to illegals, it meant everyone's tuition would have had to gone up. So it took me 7 years to get through college. I was working as a waiter. I was working as a factory worker. We need a wall. It'll help with the opioid crisis. The drugs are coming across our southern border. This is just too much. I'm all in favor of legal immigration. I'm in favor of getting people here who will add to our culture, add to our society. people with good work ethics who will do the jobs that in many cases Americans won't do, or especially now with our economy growing, but not having a wall. We're only getting people coming here, sanctuary cities, people looking for asylum without doing it the right way, and whether they're really legitimate asylum seekers or not. This is terrible. I mean, we have to start taking care of our veterans, the cost of a sanctuary city. Look at all that money that could be going for taking care of those that paid heavy dues to this.
Well, country. They're circumventing the law in a lot of those where they're not cooperating with other police agencies or federal agencies. What plans do you have, Dr. Levinson, when you get elected, to make yourself more accessible to all your constituents and to the average, you know, just somebody that's not a – I don't think you have these huge donors in your pocket, you know, because – I've yet to donate, been broke. But do you have any plans to hold town halls if you get elected and make yourself accessible to the people of your district?
I'm glad you asked that, because I have a lot of thoughts about that accessibility. I believe that, well, first of all, I intend to work close to 24/7 as possible, because I believe in term limits. So I intend to work until I'm near burnt out. And that means there'll be time in the day where I can meet with constituents, where I'll have not only town hall meetings, but I'll have my staff travel from town to town, maybe use some unused office space in town halls. So you don't have to drive 2 hours to present your problem to Ann Custer's district office. My office will come to you. And I'll tell you, I'm going to go one step better. I'm going to give direct access to the constituents. They're going to be able to call me. There'll be like office hours, like when you're in college, you can go to the professor. You don't have to go through the TA with me. There'll be times of the day reserved for calling me directly, or even down in Washington, meeting with me directly, because not only do I feel it's my obligation, but I just love doing that. I mean, one of the nicest things about running for office has been meeting all the wonderful people in my district. And I'll tell you, I really miss seeing the veterans as much as I did when I was working at the VA. It was the greatest group of patient population. So anytime
a veteran... Is there a difference between a veteran patient and a civilian patient?
Oh, there's a big difference. I mean, I hate to say it. I mean, I love all patients. I love taking care of patients. But the VA has a special group of people, camaraderie, common cause for being there. They look out for each other. And plus, the fact you wouldn't offend them if you got a little course with your language. You could be honest with them. You could be open with them. It was a two-way street. I mean, I've had veterans come in. They identified me with the system, so they'd come in cursing me out, and it would be like, hey, that's their right. I'd have fun with it. I mean, you calm them down. You say, look, I'm here to help you. You want to keep going, I can join in. We had so much fun. I mean, it was great. I missed that. That's why when somebody says, oh, you became a whistleblower to go into politics, I miss my job. If Ann Custer had done her job, I would have still had my job.
Well, I've got to thank DV Boner and AJ for putting this together. But we managed to get all my questions in. And there's one other New Hampshire resident, my wife, who's also a female vet. Google, do you have anything that, we got a minute, that needs to be brought up?
It's not about, like, the veteran side. I was more wondering, like, Obamacare. Everyone's always, premiums are going up because Trump is in office. And I know that he's trying to get rid of it because it's kind of horrific the way everything was happening. What's your take on that, or even making it, like, universal health care? Because, that's what the other side wants.
Well, the other side wants single payer disguised as universal health care. Obamacare has been a disaster on so many levels. I could spend the next hour talking about how bad Obamacare has been.
You brought up some good points in the debate, and I'd like to – you've got 60 hours left. We won't get you on again, but you folks need to go listen to that WMUR debate and where you talk about that. You are right. It is a mess, and it's really complicated. I think the best advice we can give anybody, Dr. Levinson, if they want single-payer health care, look at the VA.
Well – I don't know. I think the VA is not the worst.
The one
the
in Phoenix.
Okay. Okay, the one in Phoenix for sure. Well, I would like to say, though, that thank you for having me on the show. Please come out and vote, and I'd love your support. Please come out and vote for me on Tuesday, anyone in the 2nd Congressional District. I'll earn your trust day in and day out. That's all I can say.
Hey, thank you for coming on. Check out Dr. Stuart Levinson's Facebook page, Dr. Stuart Levinson for Congress. I pronounced his name right the whole show. I want that to stand for the record. I did not call him Steve. Dr. Stuart Levinson. And thank you so much for coming on and being our guest tonight.
It was truly my pleasure. You guys do just so much good work. You keep veterans from falling through the cracks. You really do.
All right, that's Dr. Stuart Levinson. Bo, it's all yours, brother.
Yeah, go to LevinsonForCongress.com to find out more about his views and what he's wanting to do when he makes it to Congress.
DV Radio.